So, my name is Carol. My last name is Lambert. Who are you?
Marion Lambert Costanzo. Costanzo Lambert.
Costanzo Lambert. How would you spell Costanzo?
Costanzo.
Do you know what part of Italy your father was from?
I've heard it a number of times, but it's never sunk in for me.
Yeah.
I never was good with
the geography. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I wished I would have been.
And how old are you now?
I'm 94.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Aren't you surprised?
You bet I am.
Have you never known anybody who's 94?
No, I haven't. I do have a cousin. I know he's at least 97 or 98.
Where is he?
He's here in Omaha. Not Omaha. Where in the heck is he? Colorado?
No. Ah.
I don't know.
He's west of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And today's date is August 19th, Monday, August 19th, 2019. And your birthday was in June, wasn't it?
Yeah, 22nd.
22nd of June. Congratulations.
Thanks. Swedes was the 6th of June.
Yeah.
I miss him.
I'll bet you do.
And I'm sorry, you always see it afterwards. And I know the kids, were after me to come and spend more time with Dad, and he was in a home like this, but a different one. I just didn't like that home for one thing. It took everything I had to open the door and walk in that place. Mm-hmm. There was something about it, it just, I couldn't wait to get out of there. And then after Dad passed away, they wanted me to move in there. I said, there's no way I'd move in that place. And there come along two or three of my close friends that I knew wanting me to move over there. I just wouldn't do that. But I've liked it here. It's clean. Most of the people are very nice. There's a few shysters like there is every place else, And they probably think I'm one of them.
Oh, so this is Elk Ridge.
This is Elk Ridge.
In western Omaha. Mm-hmm. Omaha keeps growing west and west.
I didn't even know any of this existed.
Me either.
The further I drove, the furthest I ever went out this way was 132nd. Yes. Working with zone, because we didn't have the money to live as high as we was living. So, but that is.
And when you worked at the bomber plant, did you go there on your own to get a job, or were you recruited to get a job there?
I went on my own. I had to go to, I think it was 6 weeks or 3 weeks of schooling, learn how to use the different machines, I can't even think of any of the name of them anymore now. But I learned how to use all the machines that he would be using or showing me how to use. Mm-hmm. I had to learn how to buck rivets, and I never was on the other end of the gun. They'd stick me under the floor because I was small. They'd pull all the wires all back, and I'd slide down underneath. And see, I was just a young girl. So many of those guys there were just young married guys. Oh, and they just loved teasing me and giving me a bad time. They were going to put the floor on me and leave me there overnight. And I thought, they're so damn ornery. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they go off and leave me there. And I was kind of scared.
That is scary.
When they stuck me down like that. Because then they let it back and then put the floor over me. I said, don't put the floor over me. I want them to know I'm down here. Oh, who cares, you know? They'll find you tomorrow. I would just be nervous wrecked.
So you're talking about the floor of an airplane.
Yeah. Well, there'd be something on the outside that something had to be riveted on there. Mm-hmm. I don't know just what it was. Several little things I remember them putting me under like that. But, you know, they did a lot of jacking around.
Yeah.
You know how young kids are. And they wanted my attention. They knew it embarrassed me and what didn't. One day they grabbed my shoe and one of the turrets were out up above and threw the shoe up over the turret. Out it went, plunk, lit right in front of two guys, big shots, right in front of them. They stopped, turned around. I about died. Oh, wonder where that came from. Oh, well, off they went again. I said, if you're going after my shoe, you want a bet? I said, no, because you're the one that threw it out there, and you're going to go get it. Well, you know who went after it. Me. I could just knock their block off. Mm-hmm. If their wives only knew what I put up with their dumb husbands. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just attention.
Did you work during the day or during the night?
Night.
You worked during the night.
Yeah.
Is that when Swede was working as well?
That's where he met me. We each knew the same person. And he asked that person to introduce me to him. I don't know what attracted me to him. I don't remember even seeing him. For him to, you know, if he'd been around where I'd seen him, made Google eyes at him or something, it would have been different, but I never even knew he was around, you know. But this guy said, yeah, I'll introduce you. So he came over and he said, how about me taking you home some morning? Got a motorcycle. Oh, no, I said, I can't. I don't know how to ride a motorcycle. But no, I can't do that. Well, he says, it's not hard. He says, I'll be careful, blah, 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 blah. I said, well, okay. So you think if you're gonna catch me, you're gonna be a good time for you waiting around a long time before you're gonna catch me. So when I'd get ready to go out, I don't know, that time we were kinda, when you went outside, if you looked, if you were very far away and looked, it just looked like a hill there. It didn't look like anything, you know. And he'd go out and stand out there in front and wait for it to come out from under this. Well, and I'd come along and I'd see him stand and I'd go back.
Oh, no.
And I'd wait and wait and wait and he'd finally leave. Then I'd run out and get in my driver's car. And I told him what I was doing. He said, oh, that's okay. So one morning I wasn't even thinking. And I just happened to be walking out and there he was. And I had no excuse. I just meant to be, I guess. And he says, you know, how about riding home with me this morning? I said, well, I didn't know what to say to him. I said, well, I've never rode on one before. I'm kind of afraid of him. He said, there's nothing to be afraid of. I'll be careful. I said, well, okay. so he showed, it was just one of these big seated ones. And we both sat on the same seat. I said, well, where's my seat? Right there. I said, that's your seat. And I'm sharing it with you. Oh, so, okay. I get on, I have to put my feet up by where his is and everything. And I said, well, I don't have anything to hold on to. And he said, that's what I'm here for. And he said, hang on tight. And he just chuckled, you know. I thought, oh, you smart aleck. And so then we took off and he said, how about some breakfast? I said, you know, I am kind of hungry. So we went to this restaurant and he went right over to the jukebox and there was Sleepy Time Girl. We played that. That was our song. And when he come back, you know, just little things that he said kind of got to me. Mm-hmm. And when we got home, my mom was there in the kitchen and he walked me right on upstairs up to my door. He wanted to know where I lived, you know, all those apartments. So I introduced him to my mother and I went on to bed. I was tired. And so I just went to bed. And he sat there for 2 hours talking to my mother. And she said to me, you know, Mary, if you'd marry somebody like, because see, she had all the responsibilities mm-hmm. of me and didn't have money or nothing. And she said, you marry somebody like him, I would never need to worry about mm-hmm. you. He'd take good care of you. Mm-hmm. Well, she was right.
She was right. I wanted to ask you about how you came to know, both of you, how you came to know that the bomber you were working on became the Enola Gay. You didn't know it at the time.
No, we didn't. We did have to go into the bomb bays and enlarge the bomb rack.
Inside the plane.
Yeah. But we didn't know about it. You know, we didn't know that they were planning this or that this was even in the market yet. And he was told more than I was, you know. And then he had other little things in the Bombay to do. And I just helped with just a few things in there. It was mostly him. But
and then you finished the job, and then much later, you learned that the airplane you both worked on went to Japan.
Yeah. Oh, we was really surprised.
Yes, I'm sure you were.
But see, it wasn't just the one that was done that way. Mm-hmm. There was quite a few of them, I mm-hmm. guess. So we don't know if it was actually the one that we worked on or if it was one just like it, mm-hmm. you know. So, but...
How did you know? How did you know that the airplanes from your bomber factory were the ones that carried the atomic bomb?
I think we knew quite a few of the people. They had a special room like way up above. And the woman that worked up there, her husband worked at the plant and with us. And she was up in the, and so she knew everything that went on. And, but she wasn't allowed to say anything. In fact, I think at that time, she had to stay. I don't think she got to go home. I think she had to stay there until it was finalized.
Oh my goodness.
And taken care of.
So a lot of security.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So you're saying she lived at the bomber plant?
Well, she just more or less for the needed time. It wasn't, they knew how close to get, you know how. Mm-hmm. That's the way I remember it now. I might be wrong, you know.
But you knew that when you were there, she was there, and you also know that the people who preceded you working on the bomber knew that she was there too.
Yeah. She was kind of a different person. He used to come over, and so we did a lot of car work for him. And she got so every time he came over, she came over.
She smoked.
I hated it. I hated when anybody smoked in my house. Mm-hmm. And but she, when he come, she'd jump in the car and over she'd come with him. Mm-hmm. And would jibber jabber. I don't know. She must enjoy being around the kids and stuff too, you know. Mm-hmm.
This was after the war and after you'd started your family, but you maintained a relationship.
Yeah. And they were good friends of ours. We used to all go dancing together. And we had a lot of friends, just a lot of friends, good friends. Like we took up square dance and round dance and, you know, about everything we could think of.
You were bowler. You went bowling.
Yeah. And when we took up square dancing, we were by ourselves, just the two of us. And Rick, we didn't have a babysitter, so Rick went along, and he was only about three. And so he had to sit up in the bench and just stay right on the bench. He never got down to run after Mama or Daddy. He was very nice, very nice. Sat there like he's supposed to. And when we came in, this one couple that we got, they were our closest, dearest friends, said, "Hey, grab that couple. We want them for our fourth one." So we met up with them, and that night, after it all broke up, they said, "Hey, come on over to our house. We'll have some coffee and rolls or something, and we'd like you to come along." Oh, that'd be nice. They didn't live that terribly far from us either. And so we went over there, and the next Saturday, whatever the day was, the next time one of the others did it, and then the other one did it. Well, then time for us to do it. So I invited them over to my place. And I know they were just dying to see where we lived and how we lived, because they all knew each other. None of them knew us except from then. And we had so much fun. We just laughed the whole time they were over there, and we just had a good time, good clean time.
Mm-hmm. Nice memories.
Yeah.
If you could tell me in your recollection or in your experience, the people who were the kindest to you in your life, who were the people who were the most kind to you? Teachers, friends.
Talk about friends. It still rolls all back to this couple when we started square dancing. They wanted us in their square, and he had a business. And, you know, he had a lot of trucks and diggers and things that broke up cement and picked it up and hauled it away and stuff, you know. He had a good business going. And so, you know, he knows, found out Swede did mechanical work. So Swede then was his mechanic. And she and I got real close. She was just crazy about him. And she was kind of worried that he might be playing around, which I wouldn't be a bit surprised that he might have. But if it was that way, it was the woman pushing herself onto him. I don't think he would have, you know, done anything. But I don't know for sure.
And, but they were good friends.
Yeah, they were our best. You know, like I say, he'd call and say, "I hope you're packed and ready to go." I said, "I'm not going nowhere. I got a 2-month-old baby." "Yep, we're going to go to Vegas tomorrow. I got our tickets. We're ready to go." "I can't go." "Well, you have to. I got to." I went. I left my mother with my babies, and she wasn't well. I should never have left her. But she got along fine with them.
They all survived.
Yeah. But see, what she had was that asthma, and she couldn't breathe. Mm-hmm. You know, she could have plopped over easily with that eye.
But she didn't.
She didn't?
No.
See, somebody else was looking out for me.
Yep, and you got to have a good time with your friends.
Yeah, we did. We really had a lot of fun. And see, at that time, that's when it was fun to go to Vegas. It wasn't so full that you couldn't even get in the door like it is now. You know, people are out there just crazy. When we used to go, when we first started going, you know, we all would go into maybe this gambling hall, and I played the penny machines or the nickel machines, the cheap ones, you know. I didn't know how to play any of that stuff. And we'd stay together for a little while, and then Howard, the guy, he went, he says, "I'm going to go across the street. I'll be upstairs," and so. "Okay, we'll know where you're at." Well, you wouldn't dare to do that now. You'd never find him.
You wouldn't. That's right. I think the casinos are designed not to let you out.
Yeah.
To invite you in, but not to let you out.
But, you know, at that time, if you stayed up at night, and I think it was after midnight, usually up above they had an upstairs, and they would make a food for after 12 o'clock and decorate it. I wished I had a camera that I could take in pictures of it. Beautiful, the way they would decorate everything, and it was laid out up there, and after 12 o'clock you could come up and help yourself.
Nice.
And then while you were playing the machines, a lot of times they'd come around. "How about an apple? How about an orange? Would you like a little 7-high? You know, they were always offering you something. And we really had some good times together.
You did. I remember.
Yeah. And then we went to shows. That's what I was going for. I remember the two that used to be together all the time. He was the comic and the other one was the singer.
Two men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was always with the funny voice.
I'm almost getting it.
Did you know who I met?
I think so.
Well, it was the funny one. Mm-hmm. We went to watch him, and I thought, oh, he's going to be so boring, because sometimes you just felt like you couldn't hardly stand him, you know. And we went, and where do we get seated? Here was the stage. We were sitting back here.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought,
this is no fun.
Such a place to sit. Mm-hmm. Almost see the back of his head all the mm-hmm. time. He played to us just as well as played to these people. Mm-hmm. He knew his business, and he worked his way around, and he talked right to you, and you know. I was really.
So the question is, what do you feel most grateful for in your life in these 94 years? What occasion, what event, what gift, what relationship, what are you the most grateful for?
Oh my, that's a big order. I've had a lot of good things happen to me. I could write a book. I can see why people say I wouldn't mind writing a book of all the little good little things, some bad little things, or how bad it could have been if I'd have gone the other way. And I have come so close to it a couple of times. Just like somebody was, no, we don't do that. You know, it's funny how life treats you. I don't know what to say.
I think you've said it. I think what you've said, if you don't mind my sort of doing a little paraphrase, is that you, at certain times in your life, you had the opportunity to make a choice that might have been the wrong choice,
yeah.
And something reminded you, we don't do things like that,
yeah.
Or we don't do that thing.
Yeah.
And that helped you get a better perspective, get a better idea, and you didn't make that choice.
Yes.
So something said something to you, and that's really terrific to be grateful for. That's really terrific.
Well,
because it saved you. It preserved you.
Yeah,
just being aware.
Come so close a couple of times. And, you know, I had a certain amount of boyfriends. One kid was just really crazy about me. He wanted me to marry him, and I said no. And he was going into the service. So he's gonna leave tomorrow morning. He wanted me to come over and spend the night at his folks' when they take him down to the train, then I would go along with him. And he had a crazy damn brother. But I think he would have liked taking me. It was nasty. Anyway, Bill then came along and in the middle, you know, I hadn't even started to get ready for bed yet. And he was trying to approach me. And, you know, I knew he was going to the service. I had no desire for anything in that order, anyhow. And I liked him, and I thought a lot of him. But you know, later on in life, I think he'd have been a drunkard now that I... He lived in... when we used to go to California quite a few times. I used to stop and see him. He was married. He married a young girl, and they had a little baby together. And they lived under this house. But it was kind of nice there. And on my way out, I'd say that we were with another couple, or they was with us. And I said, would you mind, since I'm just going through, I'd like to just stop and say hi to him for a few minutes. Well, that's okay, we got the time. So I'd run in and talk to him for a few minutes. And But his folks were entertainers back in the day when she got up on the tables and danced in her skimpy little clothes, you know, back in those days. And
that wasn't for you. So we were talking about your proudest moment when you were a teenager, 16, 17, and you developed quite a skill at roller skating.
Oh, I loved it.
And you roller skated with guys in competition.
Yeah, I got out and I used to race. I won 3 first place medals up in Iowa. We used to go up there, Des Moines, I think it was.
Oh, that's some ways away.
And the first time I went up there, a busload of us went, and we had, I think, 2 or 3 couples that was entering in the competition up there. They said, take your skates along, Lambert, so that you can, because they'll be skating, you might as well be skating too. But, you know, just so, I said, well, I'm not going to enter anyhow, so, well, you never know. So, okay. So I took my skates along, and they had roller dancing, see, that's what they were up there for. And I got into that later. But these gals were getting their skates ready to speed skate. And he called, the boss from the rink called up there, tell Lambert to get into that race. He said that I had a chance.
Now, were you a Lambert then, or were you a Costanzo?
No, I was a Costanzo.
You were a Costanzo then.
I was a Costanzo.
Yep.
And told me I should get into it. And I thought I wouldn't even have a chance because they had different trucks on their skates that could take these wheels off for this kind of stuff and put a different kind of this on the bottom of their skates. And I thought, what chance have I got? Look, they got all this stuff.
Fancy stuff.
Yeah, all I have is to get on my toes, and we'd run out 2 or 3 steps, and then away we'd go. Well, they didn't do it that way. They did it over this way.
Stepping side to side.
Yeah, and I'd never done that before. And so here I am waiting, and here they on, so that's what I gotta do. And I was stumbling along, and they were, at least from here to the wall ahead of me, you know.
About 3 or 4 feet.
Yeah, and I thought, I won't have a chance. I went around them like nothing. You know, I mean, it was just almost pitiful. To see what they were, I don't know where in the heck they ever would win anything if they weren't any faster than what they were. And I won. I would just, when they found out, they sent me a telegram, and I still had it. It was upstairs in my attic. It's probably still up there.
Wow.
Yeah.
A 16-year-old getting a telegram from people that you competed against and won.
Yeah.
When you had skates that didn't have all of the fancy technology.
Nothing.
You just had a very strong competitive spirit.
Well, when I was ready to go, I was ready to go. And once I had the power in my legs, you know. And then they had one in Omaha. And this gal and I used to compete quite a bit. And, you know, if you try to go around somebody, you can't touch them or you're disqualified. And so we'd start off, and she happened to get ahead of me to begin with, right off the bat. And I thought, well, that's all right. I give me a little leeway. Well, what does she do? Ooh, So you can't get by her.
Oh, she spreads her arms out and stuff. Oh.
They should have disqualified her.
Because she created an obstacle.
And they didn't see it at all. And I was trying so hard to get around her. And at the last turn, she went out just this much, and I just took her right there.
You cut the corner.
Oh, she was so mad.
I'll bet.
Oh, she was mad. And I just, I was just in my glory. That's the only time my mother seen me skate.
Oh, terrific. What a proud moment for you. How wonderful.
Yep.
How wonderful.
I was so proud.
Your mother could see you achieve that.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. She would have been there for me, but she didn't have the money or the time.
But she did get to that one occasion.
She got the one.
That's great.
The one that meant a lot to me.
It did mean a lot.
But I thought, what a dirty thing to do. And this same gal, she dressed beautifully. Her mother dressed her. She was like a brand new clothes every day, you know. And she'd come roller skating. She had on these real nice plaid skirts and such. She was taller than me, about like that. So here she come over to me one day. Now this is the guts she had. See, what I had an old brown corduroy. I don't know where I picked up on somebody's trash or something. And somebody had started to make it into a skirt, and they must have got disgusted and threw it down. They wasn't gonna mess with it anymore. So I picked it up and I brought it home, and I thought, well, I can take a tuck in here and a tuck in here. Well, then I found out I was much smaller than what the skirt was, so I kept tucking and tucking and finally, I got it tucked enough that I could wear it. And she wanted to get out in the middle with this guy and show off, you know.
Her fancy stuff.
And so she came over to me and she said, Marion, would you mind changing clothes with me? She said, my mother I just got these new. And my mother would just have a fit if I, and I was thrilled to death to think, oh, man, I could put those clothes on? I wasn't belittled. I was thrilled.
Yeah.
And so she puts on my old rags. And if she fell and tore them all apart, hell, it wouldn't be anything to her, you know.
Yeah.
And I was proud because, man, I thought I really, well, the skirt hit her just in the right place, and it was way down here on me. I must have looked funnier, Nick. Well, I used to think about it, and I'd just sit and laugh at myself. But it was just kind of funny the way it all happened.
So your refashioned skirt got on her. Yeah.
Yeah, and if she fell,
yeah.
But see, here I was with her clothes on.
Her clothes, fancy stuff.
Oh man, I just thought I wish my mom could see me now.
Yeah. You
know? But of all the guts to come and ask a person, don't hurt to tear up your, I only had two skirts. I think the other one was kind of a let down or something from somebody too. We just didn't have the money to buy anything.
No.
Or
no.
Here I got a up above big box of nice material. You know, if I was young again, I'd sit out and do some sewing. And, you know, my hands aren't.